Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Here, Jesus is interacting with the woman at the well. Like he does often, Jesus uses a real-world occurrence to teach a very deep spiritual principle. The woman was thirsty.
"Whoa, Professor. What do you mean?"
"Don't go chasing waterfalls."
She was at the well to get water to quench her thirst. Now, in the verses prior to our current passage, Jesus uses the term living water. This term is very significant in the Old Testament. In Jeremiah, God calls himself the fountain of living waters. Other Old Testament prophets spoke of the future time when living water would flow out of Jerusalem. This living water provided cleansing, spiritual life, and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit.
So what you're saying, Professor, is God takes a scrub and makes him a stud.
God can take those scrubs, turn them to studs with his great love indeed.
So essentially, Jesus uses her physical needs, the need to hydrate, to teach her about her spiritual needs, the need to be renewed through the Holy Spirit.
So basically, God can take someone who feels unpretty and make them feel pretty.
God is in the position to make them feel so spiritually pretty.
And that's John 4, 14 and 15.
Well, if you've been here the last few weeks, what I'm about to tell you is either going to disappoint you or excite you. That was the last slow jam for a while, okay? I'm so thankful for our team and what they do and their creativity. And I do just want to take a moment. I want to welcome all the men watching from Toledo Correctional, everybody watching on Channel CW here at Perrysburg. Can we go ahead and take a moment to welcome them? We are so glad that you're at church today. For everybody here physically, for everybody watching online at all of our campuses, I am so glad that you're here. Never want you to underestimate what God wants to do in you and through you, and by making church a priority, by showing up, you're taking a step today. And I'm proud of you, and I'm glad that you're here. The title of today's message is "If You Only Knew." Come on, look at your neighbor and say, "If you only knew." If you're watching online, go ahead and type in the chat, "If you only knew." Okay, so back here, go ahead and look at your second option. Tell them, "If you only knew." If you only knew. Come on. So today, we're going to be talking about this topic. And, you know, there are moments in our life that if we only knew what we knew now, we would have done something different. If I only knew how much Bitcoin was going to cost right now, I would have put my life savings into it. If I only knew that Oral Roberts was going to beat Ohio State, my bracket would look a lot different. If I only knew that Michigan was never going to beat Ohio State in football in my lifetime, I would probably be an Ohio State fan. But I'm pretty pot committed at this point, okay? So I'm staying a Michigan fan. You've done this in your life, okay? So if you only knew, maybe for you it was a relationship. If I only knew how that was going to work out, I never would have entered into it. If I only knew what that financial deal was going to be, I probably wouldn't have done it. If I only knew what this last year was going to be, I probably would have had a much different perspective this time last year. I had one of these "if you only knew" moments in Colorado. I was hanging out with some buddies. We went and we hiked a mountain. In this picture, we look happy, but we were not happy. The reason is it was 95 degrees that day, and we decided to do the hike at 11 a.m. instead of like 7 a.m. If I only knew, we would have done it much earlier, and we would have brought a lot more water. By the middle of the hike, we ran out of water. We didn't know what we were going to do. But we said, we are going to finish. By God's grace, we finished. But by the end of it, we were so thirsty. We finally got to a gas station. And I got a bottle of water and drank that water so quickly. But it was like manna from heaven, okay? Like it was that first drink from a garden hose when you're a kid in the summer and you just need something to drink. It was so very good. But that water, although it satisfied me in the moment, it didn't have the ability to fully satisfy me. I've had to drink water again. And so it is with life. Many of us, we are pursuing something in our life that we believe if we get it, then everything's going to be great, that everything's going to be awesome, that we're going to be satisfied, and ultimately we are going to be fulfilled if I could just get that. We do this our whole life, right? It's like, man, once I graduate from high school, then life's going to be awesome. Once I get my degree, once I get my job, once I get a promotion, once I get married, once we have kids, once our kids get out of the house, you know, we just constantly are looking from this thing to the next thing, and that's going to bring me fulfillment. I would just ask the question today, would you consider that the thing you're pursuing today, maybe it doesn't have the ability to fully and finally satisfy you the way that you want it to? What if there is no amount of travel, promotion, freedom, money, relationship, sex, whatever it is for you? What if there is no amount of things that you're going to pursue today that are ultimately going to give you what you want and what you desire? Not that those things are bad things, but when they become the ultimate thing, many times it makes us feel even more empty, even when we achieve it. Some of you today, you're watching online, and you're searching for something. The reason you're here is because you are looking for something. You've been pursuing all of these different areas of your life, and you haven't found what you're looking for. I'm so glad that you're here. Others of you, maybe you're in a really good spot right now. Maybe for others of you, you haven't gotten there yet, but there's going to be a moment where you get what you want. And when you get what you want, you're going to ask this question. Now what? I got what I desired. Now what? I did what I wanted to do. Now what? I mean, we know the celebrities and the people that we look at and we think they have it all. And then something happens in their life and something happens underneath the surface and we're like, wait a minute, you had everything. Like if I had what you had, my life would be incredible. But on the inside, there was something going on that we didn't know about. We all have these moments in life, and I believe all of us hit some point where we're like, wait, can I actually do this by myself? Can I experience the fulfillment and the desires? Can I do this by myself? So I would ask you to consider this today, our bottom line. Since you can't fulfill your desire to be fulfilled, would you place your trust in the only one who can? Since you can't fulfill your desire to be fulfilled, place your trust in the only one who can. Now, some of you, you're watching today, and you're skeptical. You're thinking, Josh, I've been to church, and this is my first time back in a long time, but I already know what you're going to say. You're going to say that there's a God-sized hole in my heart that only God can fill, and I need to just give everything to him today. And if that's you, I am so glad that you're here, because I believe that all of us, if we don't get this right, there's going to be a problem. You see, the longer that we pursue the things that we believe are going to fulfill us, the more regret we're going to have at the end of our life when we realize they're not going to. All of us are chasing and pursuing and chasing and pursuing, and I believe that God has something different for us today. And I'm so glad that you're here. And I just want to tell you that I'm not an expert in this area. I don't know everything about this area, but I know that the natural inclination, my natural desire, is to pursue stuff and accomplishments and want to do more and more and more, believing that's going to fulfill me. And I'm here to learn with you as well. I believe that Jesus has a story for all of us that can really put us in touch with what he wants for us. It's a story in John chapter 4, and in the midst of this story, there are some incredible perspectives that come into play. Whenever I have the opportunity to communicate, I love to be able to research, and today's message is really largely based on a couple messages that I saw from Pastor Stephen Furtick and Pastor Andy Stanley, so thankful for both of them, and hopefully today, God's going to be able to give you something that is going to help you with a next step. You see, 720 years before Jesus came, there was a king named Sargon. Okay, not Aragorn, Sargon. And Sargon took these Jews and he exiled them into a place in Israel where there were a bunch of other nationalities. These Jews started intermarrying with the other nationalities and they became known as Samaritans. Okay? Jesus was going from Judea and he decided to return to Galilee, and this is what we read in chapter 4. It said he had to go through Samaria on the way. Now, some of you are thinking, why does this matter? This matters a lot, Because Jews, full-blooded Jews, hated Samaritans because they were half-blooded. They were half-breeds. They hated the Samaritans. They would never walk through Samaria. They would take an alternate route. So Jesus, here's what he did. He went straight through Samaria instead of going the traditional route and going around. They hated the Samaritans so much that they wouldn't even walk through their town. The reason Jesus did that is because he had a divine meeting with someone in Samaria. Jesus has a divine meeting with you today. He wants to speak to you. He has something for you today, and I would ask you to be open to whatever he has for you. The verse continues. It says, eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar. Near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, Jacob's well was there. And what's cool today is that if you're ever in Israel, you could actually see Jacob's well. They're positive of where it would have been. Here's what it looks like today. They built a church over it, and now you have an opportunity to go there. But for today's purposes, I want you to think about Jacob's well looking like this. This is not the place in which it was, but this is what it would have looked like at the time of Jesus. So he gets to Jacob's well, and the verse continues on. It says, Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Now, what's interesting about this part of the verse is that no one would get water at noon. In the same way that I never should have taken a hike at 11 o'clock when it was 95 degrees outside, no one would ever get water at noon because it was so hot you would want to do it at the beginning of the day. In fact, women would never actually do this alone either. This was an opportunity for them to stay safe and travel in packs, but also for them to be able to socialize. So they would wake up early in the morning, they would head over, grab their bucket, and they would go grab water. They talk about life, they talk about their families, they talk about TV shows that they're watching, Real Housewives of Samaria, whatever it was at the time, and they would have some conversations. But this woman went at noon because she didn't want to see anybody. She wanted to go by herself, and she did not want to be seen. The verse continues. Jesus looks at the woman, and he says to her, please give me a drink. I mean, what do you expect the woman to do here? It says the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. This woman is shocked. She's like, there is no way that this guy is talking to me. There's no way a Jewish man would be talking to a woman, and even worse, a Samaritan woman. In this moment, Jesus isn't just asking something, he's stating something. By saying, give me a drink, he's about to touch the bucket that she had touched, which for a rabbi at the time, they would never do because a Samaritan woman was unclean. If Jesus touched this bucket, he would have been made unclean. That's why they never would have done it. And then he would have had to go through all of these ceremonial washings in order to make himself clean again. So there's no way Jesus or any other rabbi would ever ask this question, but Jesus was different. He wasn't trying to avoid this woman. He was having a conversation with this woman. The verse continues on and says, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? I'm a Samaritan woman. I'm basically a second-class citizen. Why are you talking to me? It's because in this moment, Jesus is showing something for all of us. One of the things I love about Jesus is he affirmed women. Jesus revolutionized the way women were viewed at that time, and it affects us to this day. You see, at that time, women, they were property. They didn't matter. Jesus flipped the view on its head. He not only did that with women, he did that with children. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. At that time, children didn't matter until they grew up. But Jesus was different because Jesus believes that every single person matters to God. And if any theology or doctrine condones or encourages the mistreatment of women, children, or anyone who doesn't look like you, it is not from Jesus, it is from the pit of hell. Every person matters to God. And we need to be reminded of that constantly. One of the things that I love about Jesus, and one of the things I love about the story of Jesus, and if you're skeptical of Jesus today, the first person that saw our resurrected Savior Jesus was a woman. And if you're skeptical of the Bible, if we were making this up, Or if the people at the time who were writing the Bible were making this up, they would have never written a woman into the story because they didn't have validity. They didn't have credibility. They couldn't even testify in a court of law. The reason they said that a woman was the first person to see Jesus is because that's what happened. And that's what Easter is all about. That's why I'd encourage you, if you haven't decided which service you're coming to next week, make Easter a priority. Be inviting your friends so that we can celebrate the greatest event in history. So Jesus, he's talking to the woman. The woman's, you know, having a conversation back with him. And here's what he says in verse 10. He says, "If you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." This is a gift given. It's not bartered for. It's not traded. It's not forced payment. It's not, you cannot get it through your own performance or your own good works. It is a gift that is given. Here's what she says. She's really practical. She says, "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket." We probably would have said the same thing. Like, what do you mean this gift? Like, it sounds super interesting, but you don't have a bucket. Jesus responds. He says, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." This woman's got to be like, what is this dude talking about? I'm here for some water. He's talking about this water that I don't even know what he's talking about. He can give me some type of water that I'll never have to come back to this well again. And that's what she says in verse 15. She says, "Please, sir, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." I mean, she's practical. "Give this to me, Jesus." And we would think and expect that Jesus would give her a next step. Like say, okay, this is what this means. Jesus didn't do that. You know what Jesus said? He said, "Go and get your husband." I'm just thinking like, Jesus, what? She's asking for living water. She wants to hear more about you. And you tell her to go get her husband? Here's what she says. "I don't have a husband." And then Jesus, in one of the most savage responses in all of Scripture, says this. "You're right. You don't have a husband. For you've had 5 husbands. And you aren't even married to the one that you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." If you're skeptical of faith, if you're skeptical of Jesus, maybe one of the reasons you're skeptical of Jesus is because of responses like this. You're like, that's shame-filled. That's not nice. That's not kind. That's not loving. If any of us were the disciples, and maybe if we were there in that moment, you know, we would have pulled a Jonah Hill to Jesus. We would have been like, "Jesus, cut it out, bro. Don't bring that up. Don't bring up the 5 husbands. It's not a good conversation right now. We don't want to stir things up, Jesus. You're having a good conversation. She's interested. And you bring up this topic?" Why in the world would Jesus do this? Why would he bring this up in verse 17? It kind of doesn't make sense. You see, Jesus is taking the Band-Aid that this woman has, and he just rips it off. This woman had 5 husbands. That's unusual in our culture. That would have been terrible in hers. She lived in a small town. Everybody would have known everything about her life. Some scholars believe that this woman was not only physically thirsty for water, she was thirsty for something else. In today's culture, if you say the term thirsty, it means you want physical intimacy. They thought this woman was promiscuous. That's why she went from man to man to man. Other scholars don't necessarily think she was promiscuous. They think that because she was a woman and she was basically property, she was just passed from man to man to man, and it wasn't her fault. She was just being treated poorly. So why in the world would Jesus bring this up when she asked the question, "How can I get this water?" It's because Jesus wanted to put this woman in touch with her thirst. God wants you to be put in touch with your thirst today. You see, we are no different than this woman. Maybe you haven't had 5 husbands, but we are all thirsty for something. We are all chasing after something. This woman is having a conversation with Jesus. She's holding onto her bucket. She wants some water. And Jesus is like, it's time to teach you something. This woman has went from man to man to man, or she has been passed from man to man to man. She's struggling. She would have been a walking billboard of separation in her community. We do the same thing. We are searching, we are chasing, we are pursuing. Say, man, if I could just have a little bit more happiness, if I could just have a little bit more peace, if I could just have a little bit more of this, if I could, whatever the fill in the blank for you is, and we just take these buckets and we walk around with them and we search for fulfillment in all these different areas of your life. Here are a couple more examples. Some of you are just thinking, if I just show up to church and I clean my life up, then God would love me. If I go to Growth Track, if I get baptized, if I get plugged into a dream team, if I invite a friend to church, then God will love me. If I just clean my life up, then everything will be better. Others of you, you're not into cleaning your life up right now. You just got a bigger bucket. You're just like, I need more stuff. Give me more cars, more money, promotion, bigger house. This, upgrade. I need a bigger bucket. You're just like, bigger, bigger, bigger. You like big buckets and you cannot lie. Others of you are like, I'm not into the bucket thing right now. In fact, I'm not into cleaning. Maybe I just need to get a smaller bucket. Need to turn into a minimalist and then my life will be better. Others of you, this is the bucket that you're more interested in right now. If I could just have more beer. If I could just get wasted. If I could just do more drugs. If I could just pursue that thing. And if I feel better in the moment, maybe I'll forget about my past and all the things that I'm struggling with and I just don't want to identify right now. That I don't want to look at just because my life's been so hard. Others of you, maybe you just want a nicer bucket. You're like, I just need a cool bucket. I just need better pictures. I need more Instagram followers. I just give me a nicer bucket and then life will be better. Others of you, maybe you're just not into the bucket thing or you're tired of all these buckets and, you know, when you get tired, you just like to eat and you just want some chicken, okay? I don't know what your bucket is today. I don't know what you're chasing after. But Jesus, when he's having this conversation with the woman and she's holding onto the bucket, Jesus wants to tell her something. He wants to tell you something right now. It's not about the bucket. It's not about this. Stop pursuing this. Stop chasing after this. It's not about the bucket. He's saying, how long are you going to go from bucket to bucket to bucket to bucket until you realize it's not about the bucket? It's not about this. It's about where you're drawing from. It's not about pursuing and chasing after and getting more stuff and thinking that once you get this, then you're going to be fulfilled. He's saying, I am the only one who can fulfill you the way that you want to be fulfilled. And since you can't fulfill your desire to be fulfilled, place your trust in the only one who can. It is not about the bucket. So what does the woman do? She does exactly what we would have done. This is what she says. Sir, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here in Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship? Do you know what she's doing here? This is called a classic redirect. She's done with this conversation. She is done talking about her husbands. She doesn't want to have any more conversation about that. In the same way that when I started walking through all of these different buckets, there was one that connected with you. The question is, when it connected with you, were you quick to deflect? Because when we are quick to deflect, it's time to reflect. In the bucket that was used, that connected with you, the question is, are you going to be open to what God has to say about that bucket today? Or are you going to do what this woman did in this moment and just say, okay, I'm done. I'm done watching online. I'm done listening to Josh right now. I'm done. I'm just going to get my phone out because there's too much pain there. There's too much struggle. I just want to continue to pursue this. I want to continue to chase after this. Or are you going to be open to what God wants to do in you and through you? The verses continue. The woman said, she's trying to get out of this conversation, remember, okay? She's like, I know the Messiah is coming. So she's trying to wrap this up. And basically, you know, the one who's called Christ, when he comes, he's going to explain everything to us. She's talking to Jesus, and she's having this conversation. She's like, there's this Messiah. Not sure if you've heard of him. You probably had. Once he gets here, we'll get this figured out. I'm gonna head out of here. You know what Jesus says? What do you expect him to say? In verse 26, Jesus does a mic drop. I am the Messiah. The person that you are talking about to me, it's me. I am the one who fulfills you. I am the living water. This woman came to a well to draw water, but she met a well. Jesus says, draw from me. I'm exactly what you're searching for. I am the only one who can provide you what you need in this moment. So what does the woman do? The woman left her bucket beside the well, and she ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. This woman came to the well with a bucket to get water. She left the bucket because she experienced something so much greater. The question for you today is, are you going to leave the bucket behind, or are you going to continue to carry this bucket? Are you going to continue to pursue these things that are never going to be able to give you exactly what you're looking for? Some of you, you are looking for things that are going to fulfill you. Others of you, you need to leave the bucket of shame behind. There's nothing you can do about your past, but your past doesn't have to be a replay of your future. And in Jesus, God has the ability to make all things new. And he's saying, let the bucket go. Leave it behind. Follow me. Trust me. I am the Messiah. I have a 20-month-old daughter. Her name's Quinn. I love her so much. Here's a picture of her from last week. She's amazing. Over a year ago, I was watching Quinn, I was hanging out with her, and you don't necessarily watch your children, but I was with my child, not like I was babysitting or anything. But I'm hanging out with Quinn, and she was 6 months old at the time, okay? And I'm hanging out with her, things are going well, and I had to put her on the couch because she loved the couch. But the problem was, Quinn was in these stages of learning how to roll over. When she was on the ground, I didn't have to pay too much attention because there was nothing there to hurt her. But I had to pay a lot of attention when she was on the couch because if she fell off the couch, that was not going to be good for anybody. So I'm at the end table, and I can see in my peripheral vision that Quinn was starting the motion to roll over, and she was on the end of the couch. So I sprint over there, and she's rolling off the couch, and I catch her. Like dad catch of the year, Jerry Rice, Randy Moss-esque, I caught her. Holding on to her, put her on the ground, starts crying. Like, oh gosh, back on the couch. We're doing it again. Two additional times, she fell off and I caught her both times. The third time I caught Quinn, I'm holding her in my hands. I'm looking at her beautiful blue eyes. And the only thing that I can think is, Quinn, if you only knew. Quinn, if you only knew how many times I caught you. Quinn, if you only knew how many times I saved you. If you only knew how many tears I prevented. If you only knew how much pain was averted. Quinn, if you only knew how much I loved you. Jesus, he's looking at you today, and he's saying, if you only knew the gift that God has for you, If you only knew the relationship that you could enter into with the creator of the universe, if you only knew the freedom that you could find, if you only knew the purpose you could discover, if you only knew the difference that you could make, you would stop chasing and stop pursuing all of these things in your life that are never going to fulfill you. If you only knew the gift that God has for you. A couple weeks later, Quinn transitioned from the couch to the stairs. She's on the second stair, and I look over and I can see her falling down, but this time I was not quick enough. She fell down, she hit her head, she's crying, she's got a little bruise on her head. I'm holding her. And what I knew in that moment is that I'm always going to be there for Quinn, but I'm not always going to be able to catch Quinn because I may not always be physically there. You see, with God, He's given you the ability to make decisions. And some of your decisions have caused you to fall. But we serve a God that is ready to pick you up. He said, although you have fallen, I am ready and I'm willing to pick you up. And the reason that you can know that is because I've given everything for you. The reason that you can know that you are loved is because of what I've done for you. You see, in a little bit less than a week, we're going to be celebrating Good Friday. The reason we call it Good Friday is because it was a bad day for Jesus. Jesus was on a cross, and before he was on the cross, he would have been beaten and bruised. He would have had so many fluids leave his body that he would have been parched. When Jesus was on the cross in John chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus said, I am thirsty. It's that Jesus was made thirsty so that our thirst could be quenched. They gave him a hyssop branch and they soaked it with sour wine. They gave it to Jesus. He drank it. It would not have fulfilled his thirst. In fact, it would have made his pain hurt even more. The reason Jesus did that is because he had to fulfill a prophecy from thousands of years before in Psalm chapter 69. Jesus not only fulfilled a prophecy in that moment, he has the ability to fulfill you now. Jesus said, I am thirsty, so we don't have to experience that thirst. Because Jesus did that for us, we have the opportunity to be made right with God. Some of you, you are far from God today. And my encouragement, and I would ask you to consider today, would you make a decision to follow him? Would you stop pursuing all of these different things in your life and give your life to him? It's as simple as saying, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. I know that I've sinned. And I want to give everything to you. If you've made that decision today, I would encourage you to text DECIDED to 419-419-0707. We want to celebrate with you. We want to connect with you. And we want to help you take a next step on your journey. For others of you, you're a follower of Jesus, but you've strayed away. Although you claim to follow Jesus, lately you've been pursuing all of these different buckets. And God is gently inviting you back, saying, I am what you are pursuing. It's never going to be greater than me. Follow me. Trust me. Connect with me. I am here for you. You will never fulfill your desire to be fulfilled, but you have the opportunity to be fulfilled through me. Place your trust in me. We serve a God that loves you more than you could ever imagine. We serve a God that can do miracles. We serve a God that can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine in our own life. In the Old Testament, God split the seas. He turned a sea into a highway for the Israelites to get them away from their enemies. In the New Testament, Jesus died and he rose again through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that same Spirit lives in you. So today, my encouragement for you is place your trust in him because he is everything you're looking for. He can give you what other things will never be able to give you. There is nothing better than him. So as we wrap up this series, I don't think there's any better way for us to wrap this up, to respond and thank God for all he has done through his son, Jesus. So at all of our campuses and here at Perrysburg, would you go ahead and stand to your feet and let's thank God for what he's done, because there is nothing better than him.